Welcome back to Nachayomi. Today we're going to be covering the section of the 8th perek of Sefer Shoftim. We're in a really action-packed perek. This is now following the battle of Gideon against the pillaging Midianites, against the Amalekim, against the Bnei Kedem. This is a miraculous battle which took place with 300 men against literally tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people. So now, as they are in retreat, so Gideon is now has rallied all of the people of the local Israelites to the battle. Suddenly we have an interlude, a very strange interlude. So Ish Ephraim, that means the representatives of Ephraim, come over to Gideon and said, "Hey, why didn't you call us to battle first? I mean, like, why were you taking all the glory?" And so, I mean, they felt they were left out. And what Gideon says is, no, you know what, we're the worst of you are better than the best of us. You really, we should have called you, please, you know, we wouldn't be able to capture their kings without you, please, you know, don't think that you were excluded, even though you came in secondary. And we're going to see this, as a side comment, we're going to see that this is going to continue happening, this rift between different tribes in Israel. Here we have it on a small level in the middle of a battle. They haven't finished the battle yet. And already somebody's saying, I don't feel like we were included. We really didn't get up to the stage first. And this is gonna be the last time where one person who happens to be Gideon is going to be able to hold it together. We're going to see civil war unfolding in the next few chapters as it gets darker. But right now, this is again the same thing we saw with Devorah. We're seeing it now with the other tribes. Let's go a little further. The next thing that happens is also rather shocking. He's now moving, he's on the east bank of the Jordan, he's pursuing the enemy, and he stops off at the city called Sukkos, Jewish city, Israelites living there. He says, "Please give us food." And they say, "Do you have the kings, Zevach and Salmunah, no, those are the Midianite kings, the remaining ones, do you have them in shackles that we should give it to you? Sorry, we're not, a shop is closed today. Send them on their way." Then he goes on to the next city called Penuel. Penuel had this tower there. And he said, "Please, water, food, something." And they said, "Sorry, if you had the king, if you had the kings of the Midianites with you, we'd give you some water, but not right now." And he says, "When I return," he says to the people of Sukkos, "when I return, I'm going to torture you. I'm going to drag you through the thorns." And he says to the people of Penuel, "I'm going to destroy your tower and kill you." Wow, these are very serious threats. So they charge into battle. The Tanakh gives a very short reference about this battle. They go up a side route in which they overcome the camp of the Midianites. Just to give you a sense of numbers now, already at this point in time, before this battle, 120,000 people had died already. 120,000 Midianites have died in the face of the first 300 men who chased them, falling upon themselves. And this is now the remaining camp, which was destroyed though, and Gideon manages to capture the two kings, Zevach and Salmunah, and everybody else flees. So on the way back, now Gideon goes back to those cities of Sukkos and Penuel. First, he captures a spy from the city, and a young lad, and he asks the address of the elders of Sukkos, and he tells them where the 77 elders live. He takes them out, and he goes and he pulls them through the thorns so that everybody should know that they were acted inappropriately. And then he goes to Penuel, and he destroys the tower, and he kills the people of this Penuel, Jewish people. Wow, this is very, very serious. We're going to get to the whys and how this works soon. Actually, you know what? Let's do it just before we go on, because there's still a little bit left in the parak. Let's just deal with some of the issues over here right now. Number one is like, what is going on over here? Meaning, like, how can he, how does he have the right to do that, to do this to the people of Penuel? What the Mepharshim debate is that Radak says maybe when he came back to them, the Penuel staged a rebellion, and in the fighting they were killed. But it wasn't that he really intended to kill them. It was killed in action. The Ababanel says no, he was acting like a king. He said, "Look, this is a national security issue. If you don't support me, you are liable for death." And that's what he did. Which means that we see him acting in a very lofty and powerful fashion over here. Just to appreciate this as well, the reason why maybe that Penuel got more of a serious treatment was because they had a tower, they had more protection, so they should have been more confident in their position. The reason why both Sukkos and Penuel were not offering him help and water was because they were hedging. They didn't want to support the Israelites, this band of 300 men and their friends, you know, chasing the Midianites. When the Midianites would come back to them on the east bank, they would kill them themselves. So they hedged their bets, and Gideon says there's no hedging when it's national security, and that's what seems to be happening over here. So then what happens is he brings back these kings, Zevach and Salmunah, and he says something strange. He says to his son, he says, first he asks them, "Do you know these people you captured in Tavor? You killed in Tavor. And they said, yeah, they look just like you. But we killed them. And he says, those were my brothers. And Gideon says, if you hadn't killed my brothers, I would have left you alive. And he tells his son to go kill them. His son doesn't want to. And he gets up and kills the kings himself. And he takes the armor on their camel. At this point in time, with such a powerful victory, everybody in Israel turns to him and unanimously says, Gideon, you should be our king. Mashal bonu gam ato gam bincho gam ben bincho. This is the first request for a king, before Shmuel, before Shaul HaMelech. And he says a fascinating response. I'm not going to take command. Hashem will take control of you. Hashem is your king. Very noble answer. It's actually almost the same words Shmuel uses later when rejecting the request of a king, when the people ask for it from him. But what he does is he does something strange. He takes all the spoils of the war and he takes a tax out of that. And he uses that tax to create an ephod, which is some sort of garment, military garment, which he hangs up in his hometown in northern Israel. And he makes it as in Ophrah, and he makes it as a monument, a war monument, which the Mefarshim say he's trying to do in order to make people remember the miracles. But the Tanakh already tells us that it was a mokesh. It turned out to be a trap, and people started serving at Avodah Zarah, whether in his life or after his life. It did not work out. On the one hand, he's sort of demanding the power of a king. You know, he's demanding the recognition, the military recognition. On the other hand, he's rejecting it overtly. So it's a very, we're getting mixed messages from Gideon. The mixed messages continue when we see the next part of the parak, which tells us that he settles down, and Yerubal, or Gideon, that's his other name, marries many wives and has 70 children, and has a Pilegesh, and has a child whose name is Avimelech. Now that's very strange, because having many wives is a symbol of a king. So he's saying, I'm not a king, but he's actually acting like a king. And then he has a son, and he calls the son Avimelech. Avimelech literally means my father is a king. So he's saying no to kingship, but he's actually acting like a king. The Tanakh tells us that he died at a good old age and was buried next to Yoash's father in Ophrah. And unfortunately, the end of the parak concludes that when Gideon died, everybody kind of regressed back into their service of Avodah Zarah. So this is really the cycle restarting itself, the cycle of Shoftim. And the parak ends on a very sad note. But lo asu chesed in beis Yerubal Gideon. They didn't respond in like with kindness to his family like they did, like he did to them. Which kind of reminds us, takes us full circle back to his battle cry. His battle cry was when conquering their enemies, he used to say, call out to Hashem and Gideon, meaning to say he put himself as part of the picture of victory. Well, part of the rejection of what he stood for as they reverted back to Avodah Zarah was rejection of Hashem and rejection of the kindness that he did to the nation as well. Which leads us now to one of the ill-fated Shoftim, one of the negative leaders that we're going to see among the Shoftim, which is in Perek Tes. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.